This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of Franklin Matters radio shows, number 311. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Communications Specialist Anne-Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirement of this pandemic period. In our conversation, we talk about the reopening status that continues. Diligence continues to be required around face masks, coverings, hand washings, etc. The town staff and operations, DPW projects, and election info. We touch briefly on the budget. The town has a hiring freeze currently as they're managing the budget internally until they hear from the state as to what numbers are coming from there. Discuss virtual meetings, school committee meeting coming up the 14th, senior coffee hour July 16th. And a town council meeting on July 22nd, that'll be a new type of hybrid meeting, as Jamie explains. We also get into virtual events. Black Box concerts are in the parking lot opening this weekend. Party for the Pantry is a virtual event on July 16th. Don White and the Circle of Friends coordinate a fundraiser for the pantry on July 23rd. And then we close with the concerts on the Common, including a movie night, July 24th. The recording runs around 40 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Jamie and Anne-Marie. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM, and 102.9 on the radio dial in the local Franklin area. Here for our weekly, actually now on the new schedule, bi-weekly, Talk Franklin with our town administrator, Jamie Helen, and marketing communication consultant Anne-Marie Tracy. Good afternoon, folks, and welcome.
Morning, Steve. Hi, Steve. Afternoon, Steve. Afternoon.
Afternoon. Your morning's been that busy, huh?
It actually has.
You haven't had a break yet.
I haven't, and it all blends into one.
It does. It does. You at least had a good fourth weekend, I hope. Get away and do a little refresher stuff.
I've made it very clear I'm a beach bum on this show, Steve. So yes. Where else was I was? But at the beach.
At the beach. You know, it was really decent nice. Weather. So
it really was. It's the water's been excellent. You know, it's just been good to be able to get back out there and feel like you're doing things that are in your normal routine and what you'd normally be doing this time of year anyway. So it's good to have a few days off. I hope everybody had a great fourth. And you know, here we are.
Yeah, we Dolores and I drove out to some friends in a cabin in the woods in central PA, and while it was nice and quiet and relaxing, usually there's a good fireworks display in Mifflinburg, but this year, no fireworks. So we just saw the fireflies in the dark, and that in itself was just, that was fine. That was special.
Yeah, fireflies are great.
Yeah. I grew up catching those, and they're harder to find up here in Massachusetts than in Pennsylvania. They were everywhere when I was a kid.
There's one spot by the field, and even if you went by the bridge, where especially at dark, the darkness is there, the trees are there, and you just have the fireflies just sparkling in the trees, mm-hmm. like little Christmas yep. lights. And then you look up, and this cloud is clear. There's no clouds in the sky. The sky is clear, no clouds. And the stars are twinkling, so the fireflies become stars. It's amazing.
That's beautiful. That sounds really nice.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite childhood memories is going out and catching fireflies.
Indeed. So having been away, we're back, and reopening is continuing, Jamie.
Yeah, reopening continues. You know, I mean, I think everybody's likely aware of a lot of the new kind of regulations. We're officially in phase three. I will mention that some additional licenses have been granted. Three Restaurant has now been approved to have outdoor dining expanded. They, I believe, had some issues or some things to do in their parking lot. And so the good news is that people just need to know that Three is open for some outdoor dining. I think they've got dining inside too, up to the capacity level from the state. 67 Degrees Brewery also got their license to be able to do all that. And we are close and hopeful that Gallagher's will hopefully be having some outdoor dining in the alley, which I know that they've wanted for many years. They were over there yesterday, putting some flowers, I think some lights up, try to make it really accommodating. I'm hoping that as I've been pretty open about, but I'm hoping that this is a good example and a test case for Joe that maybe, you know, down the line we can figure out the land issues revolving around that alley, and maybe that can be a permanent fixture there. But, you know, those are all good advancements. I mean, I think that, you know, as I've made very clear, Anne Marie and I have been out to eat many times separately, but in the same places. And I've been out to a couple of other restaurants and not in Franklin as well. And, you know, I mean, it's obviously a change, but I've really been impressed with how a lot of the restaurants that I've gone to have been just really impressed at how cautious and careful and diligent they've been. And I think that's reflected in our state, you know, numbers and in our local numbers. And, you know, the good news is Anne-Marie yesterday put out on our website the latest caseload. We have over the course of this pandemic, there's been 138 confirmed cases in Franklin, and 138 of those cases have, according to the state DPH, Department of Public Health, state numbers, 138 of the 138 have recovered, which means we have no active cases in Franklin right now, which I'm not going to get emotional and I'm not going to jump for joy. I'm going to try to keep my my emotions in check. But, you know, to sit there and look at the news today and what's going on around the rest of the country, and to think that we don't have any active cases, anybody ill with COVID, that the state, you know, that's been tested positive through all the protocols and such, you know, is really an, you know, there's no words I could probably put together at what that is. And, you know, a couple quick notes. I mean, I don't think I'm being shy about saying this, but, you know, I mean, all the credit here, or almost all of it, goes to the residents and citizens of the town for, you know, being diligent. It's proof that people are wearing their face coverings as much as they can. They're washing their hands, they're staying home, they're working remotely. They're doing the things that you need to do to try to prevent the transmission of this. You know, I think the town and the citizenry, it's not always been perfect. It never was going to be perfect. Perfection is impossible on this. But but to see the downward trend in Marie's sheet that she put out, and to look at the history over the last few months since we started putting out all the data with the Board of Health, you know, I hope everybody listening to the show feels an immense amount of pride and success. That being said, you know, of course, I have to say this too, but, you know, you, for the listeners out there, you reached this point of success because you were diligent in doing all of the things that we've been asked to do by the governor and from the local officials. And it's not a time to start going and playing back to normal. We're a large community. It's time to almost double down on it and recognize that if you do not want to turn into Florida and Texas and Arizona and almost the rest of the country, you know, you have to continue to do this stuff through the summer to the best of your ability. And for example, to transition to town staff, you know, we now have almost everybody back. The police, fire, DPW, custodial units, which is 80% of our staff, are all back in full force and have been for months. Of course, police and fire never went away. For the administration staff in the municipal building and DPW and library and other buildings, senior center, you know, we're well in excess of most people are back. And really, we're at the point where the only people that aren't back are people that obviously have a high-risk health condition and doctor's notes. And they're still working remotely. You know, we've tried to really prioritize the folks that are healthy, that are safe, and that where their work is a priority, particularly inspections, treasurer, assessors. I mean, their work is critical to keeping our organization going. You know, the town staff right now is doing a tremendous job. You know, just a tremendous amount of credit to all the department heads and their staff for being diligent and being on top of this community. You know, I can't say enough great things about them. And, you know, hopefully we can just keep this trend going. You know, we know we'll get a case or two you know, maybe more, you know, as this goes on. We know that. You know, but man, wouldn't it be kind of fun if we could see how many weeks we could keep zero cases? I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool. I mean, I'm a baseball fan, right? So I'm a stat geek on this stuff.
Right, right.
You know, so I'm all about stats. But I think it'd be really cool if we challenged ourselves in the community. How long can we keep zero active cases? How can we keep ourselves out of the State Department of Public Health database as we start to go back to work, traveling to Boston, get business conferences going, we eat out, we go to the beach, we have fun, we go to rec programs. Let's keep this thing going and see how many weeks we can keep this going for.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I agree, Jamie. You know, I mean, I like stats too, which we've talked about many times. Of course, I love a good spreadsheet. My feeling, when I think back to, you know, working on that document and getting the numbers every week and just the feeling I had doing it in April when the numbers were growing, and now the feeling that I have now working on it and seeing how successful our community has been, it feels good. And I don't want to go back to seeing, you know, the numbers climbing up again and adding those types of numbers to our spreadsheet, because it was definitely more of a feeling of dread entering them than now. And I would love to, you know, keep that zero in that column for as long as possible. Like you said, you know, they're one or two, you know, I mean, things like that are bound to happen, but keeping, kind of staying the course right now is key.
Agreed. And now with the next question, certainly you're continuing the contactless or, you know, curbside service to the extent possible. Any particular timeline from your perspective as to when the public would come back into some of the places?
Oh my gosh, that is the million-dollar question I get asked.
Well, you know,
more frequently than ever. You know, I'll be pretty transparent about it. It's not going to be the most popular answer for everybody,
but it needs to be said. So that's why we're going to say
it's just simply not the highest priority of where we're focused on right now. It you know, there's still a lot of decisions to be made about the schools. There's still a lot of decisions to be made in the regulations for libraries, for senior centers. I truly don't see the senior center opening up at all before Labor Day. I don't see the library opening up to the public before phase four, if you read their regulations from the state. And for the municipal building and maybe the DPW administration building, what we've done is, we've put up some picnic tables outside. We've added a few more spots. Actually, the superintendent and I both coincidentally, not strategically, had a couple of meetings with stakeholders a couple weeks ago outside on a picnic table, and it worked out really well. So, you know, for like a local contractor that wants to come in and show their plans to the building commissioner or some staff, that provides an alternative. We're going to be doing that by appointment, you know, starting on the 13th. The second thing I would say to that is we are trying an innovative meeting style for the July 22nd council meeting, where the council staff and participants in a meeting, say a presenter or a third party that might have to come in to do a presentation, you know, would be allowed to come into the council chambers, as long as I can keep the gathering limit down, and we will do all public participation through Zoom through the projector and onto the screen. We're trying these things out in hopes that we can be successful with them and that we can continue to bite off what we can chew and kind of inch forward toward ultimately when we'll allow the public back in to the buildings to do their business. The most frustrating thing is I recognize for many people that not being able to come into the building to pay taxes or talk to a staff member is difficult. It's also it's just simply an unnecessary risk at this point, and it's a risk we don't need to take because we have the luxury of the drive-through window. We have the luxury of online payments, as you would expect, Steve. Mm-hmm. You know, online payments, you know, Carrie will tell you, have obviously gone through the roof. You know, we still have the Dropbox to drop off a check. I think with all the staff and it's just another way to help keep us at that low number of reducing the risk where we really just don't need to do it. And I know that for some, again, that's frustrating. And I really do empathize and recognize that. But at this point, I think we want to get through these next steps where maybe some, consultants that need to meet with the staff, they meet outside. We'll see how that goes. You know, maybe we'll get through the end of July if we're still looking at the trends that we're seeing today and we're maintaining things well and we're not having a big blow up as we hit phase three of big cases. You know, maybe we start to contemplate that a little later in the summer and take it week by week. I wish I had a hard and fast deadline. But the trouble is just so folks are aware who are listening to the show, I can't allow one person in and not the other. And so once you open, you know, it gets to a point of, well, what's the return on investment for, okay, if we allow people to come in, but we can't allow more than 10 people. Well, now we have a line outside. You got to, like my hair, the person who cuts my hair, you know, I stay outside. She texts me, okay, you can come in. You know, I think a lot of the staff also believe that getting into that system would just be, you know, a little bit of a drain where, you know, we're already performing the vast majority of services we do. It's just you can't come in and browse the stacks of the library for an hour and pick out your book. We will be introducing in the next 2 weeks all fire department inspections, all assessor inspections, and all building inspections. You know, we are using protocols developed by the paramedics, and those inspections at private properties in town will be recommencing within the next week or two. So, you know, we're hopeful that we can kind of inch forward, and I'm hoping that, you know, over the course of the next month, some of these additional additions to our back to regular normalcy, you know, hopefully will show the trends are the same, and hopefully in the near future we'll be able to allow people back in to do business.
No, I think that's fair, especially library and senior center, schools is a separate issue, but it's your point in the municipal building, to the extent you can provide the virtual services or the drive-up services or the Dropbox, what else do you need to do?
Yeah.
So you're expanding as you can in those specific areas, again, testing and staying within the protocols in order to do so.
And I think recognizing it's clear that part of the failure of some of the southern states is that they just went all in.
Agreed.
You know, and I think, you know, I went to the gym the other day for the first time to go for my swim, and I thought the place would be packed. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It just simply wasn't. And I think people also have to recognize most people out there are really doing a good job making choices, and they're being cautious for their own family and their own selves. And I think that's a really good thing. And I think if you look at a lot of the other states, you know, the beaches, the restaurants, municipal buildings, the commons, the common areas where people congregate, malls, businesses, they just simply went from zero to 100 really quickly. And I think that's what got them. One of the factors that got them into a lot of trouble. And I think the governor has made it very clear. And I think that the superintendent and I have been on the same page about this. We're trying to be very diligent and really, really roll into this slow so that we don't end up in September and October back to where we are or back to where those other states are. I would also mention that, you know, the schools and other buildings have other considerations to be made, you know, and the fact that, you know, well, what do you do with school buildings, you know, in the sense of, do you allow the administrators to come back? And for me in the municipal building, we share a building with the school department. And so, you know, really making sure that the superintendent and I coordinate a lot of that and that we're all on the same page with the same similar messaging and similar procedures is something that I think we both value quite a bit. And I really mean this. I think our employees value it a tremendous amount. And I think that the feedback we've gotten from our employees has been very positive about how we've been rolling these things back out. So I feel like we're trying to stay the course on that. And You know, we have a list of things coming up later in this conversation of things that are opening. And I hope that the public more thinks about what is open and what can I do to get back to normalcy, as opposed to focusing on what isn't happening. Mm-hmm. I'd like to redirect that conversation, and I know everybody would, but let's start with what we can do and try to not focus so much on what we can't do, because there is a lot of stuff that is opening that really this next month or two is going to be a very critical time for the state of Massachusetts.
But we just need to maintain our diligence. Absolutely. No issues there. I saw a Facebook post that I'll be sharing, but the DPW certainly, and I know we've talked about it before, they've taken the opportunity, given the lack of competition, so to speak, with other towns shutting down construction, we've continued to move ahead. So now all those projects are either completing early, they're ahead of schedule, they're getting done. That's all goodness for us.
It's really good for us. You know, here's another, Steve, it's almost as if like you walked right in. I somehow didn't intentionally tie that message in, but here's a great example of stuff that has been doing, right? Has been going on. Right. You know, Brutus, you know, I will not deny a couple stressful weeks there trying to decide whether to pull the plug on some of these projects or not. And one of the benefits we've been able to do is by keeping a lot of our public works projects going, what we've been able to do is a lot of other projects were canceled. And so those crews were able to come over to Franklin and finish our stuff. And so we're now under budget and on time, actually early, with a lot of these road projects, like on Lincoln Street, you know, on Dean Ave. And now they're looking at doing work, you know, over off of Beaver. And they're doing Marvin soon, Marvin Ave. I think it started in another week. Colt. There's a whole series of roads in town and neighborhoods that are getting redesigned, and the paving's going down. And you know, it's really, you know, a big testament, you know, to Brutus and the DPW staff for not only hanging in there, but being on site. Being present, making sure that those contractors were doing what the governors were ordering. And, you know, ultimately, as we get to this point now, Steve, where we're looking at hopefully maintaining a really low caseload and, you know, we're hopefully maintaining a situation where, you know, that we can continue this success. Now we're in a position where our projects are done for the year, or at least getting started on time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the infrastructure of Franklin and for those contracts and for the legality of them and all that stuff, you know, we're able to get done, you know, all the work that we had planned when this thing hit. So it's good to see a lot of those projects getting done. And I know that the residents in the neighborhoods that are getting done, you know, are going to really appreciate that. If you go around over off Washington, there's a few roads back there on the Colt that are getting redone. And, you know, if you drive over there now, the roads are all dug up. And if I'm sitting there, a resident over in that neighborhood, this is great. I've been waiting long enough for the road to get rebuilt. Now it's here. I'd hate to think that COVID was the reason my road didn't get rebuilt. I'm still hitting, you know, crack chip seal and potholes all the time. So
right.
It still should be a very busy summer in the DPW, and hopefully we'll have those projects done. One last one is, I took a tour yesterday. I maybe posted some pictures actually on social media soon of the progress of the water treatment plant. They've got the foundation and steel up off of Grove Street. The two wells are getting rebuilt. The crews are on site. They're still working their tails off. And, you know, it's great to see that project get done, too, and not have any stumbling blocks because of COVID, the water treatment plant. So, you know, a lot of the stuff in public works is really going well.
Yeah, and indeed, to the put a plug in the water discussion from the last council meeting, I shared as a separate podcast. So if people want to listen in as to how critical those wells are to our overall supply situation, without going into it here, they can certainly go tap into that link, which will be in the show notes. But yeah, that's work that does need to get done and done soon.
Yeah.
So I'm moving in the other piece, the governor signed the election changes. So the primary will have some early voting as well as in November. And there are applications for voting by mail, et cetera. Those details are still coming out now through the town clerk, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, so the town clerk was notified. Obviously, the governor passed the bill to allow for mail-in voting for both the primary election in September and then the election on November 3rd. The applications are available on the town clerk's website to apply by, to receive a mail-in application to vote. So it's going to be interesting this year. There's so many different options. There's still going to be early voting. There's still going to be in-person voting, although we're not 100% sure what that's going to look like yet.
Yes.
But to have the mail-in option, which I believe is, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure it's for every election through the end of the year, through December 31st. So we have gotten a couple of questions, you know, if there's a municipal piece to the election, will that be included as well? And, you know, there's going to be an option for all elections that happen through the year. So if anybody's looking for more info, it's on the town clerk's website, as the state is adapting and putting out more specifics, it will continue to be updated. And you can always contact the town clerk if you have any questions. But there'll certainly be more options than usual this year, considering the COVID pandemic.
Yep. And I know I want to catch up with Teresa or Nancy for another podcast episode to help spread the word. Because I believe, depending upon what the in-person voting is going to need, they're going to need, or at least had talked of requiring more poll workers.
Yes, so Lisa has discussed that a little bit. I know personally her and I have chatted a little bit about that, about needing more election workers this year.
I think the issue is now the clerk has certainty.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, we saw earlier in the year some issues around some elections, rightfully so. But the Supreme Court of the SJC had to get involved to referee some of that. And now that there's certainty, I have asked, you know, the clerk to price it out, make sure that we're on the right train here. You know, I mean, it's all imperfect. It's you know, obviously one of the most important election cycles we've all been a part of in our lives for a myriad of reasons. And you know, I just, you know, I have faith that they're going to cost it out and let me know what it is so that we can make sure that, you know, I've remained committed over and over. I've said it probably way too many times, but it can never be said enough, Steve, when it comes to elections. You know, I've committed to Teresa and Nancy over and over that, you know, we're going to find the resources we need to have fair and safe elections. It's just the bottom line. There's no standard other than real perfection on this stuff. And so we're going to need to do what we're going to need to do and make some adjustments. But the key here is now there's certainty. There's a law in place. There'll be a week of early voting before the primary on September 1st. There'll be 2 weeks of early voting before the general election on November 3rd. There'll be mail-in ballots. The Secretary of State will send out a letter to every voter in the state as well. You know, it's going to take a lot of work, but we know for a fact that Teresa and Nancy and Susan are up to the task. And, you know, I'm sure this will be another continually evolving situation over the coming weeks.
Yeah, and it allows us to segue, I think, because while there's some certainty on the election side, now it shifts to, as you said, you know, how much is it going to cost to put that together? And I know you've got forecasted some frequent budget adjustments as we continue to find out what the state's going to give us. And there hasn't been, at least that I've seen, any real changes on that front yet.
No, I think they did the 1/12th budget at the state level for July. I suspect that they'll do the same thing for August. For most people that are unaware, the state legislature adjourns on July 31st of an election year. So that's not much time. Clearly, they're not going to have all this done by then. I think they've been fairly transparent about that. I think that there are no other budget. You know, I think for most of July, what the budget is for the town is trying to get some policies in place to you know, try to prioritize spending. We already have got a hiring freeze in place. You know, we basically, if people are retiring or it's not a, a public safety or, you know, like the water sewer superintendent job will be announced soon. You know, it's a critical position that reflects public infrastructure and public safety. You know, I need to fill that. But elsewhere, we've basically put in a hiring freeze. You know, that's going to save some money in July and August right off the bat. That's the goal here. Yep. Is to try to A, see if the next few months we can bring in more revenue than projected. B, maybe save some funds in the budget that we didn't need to spend. Another example of that is I authorized them to spend half their money for summer hires for the usual kids. And we asked them that it would be kids that have been here before. And that's going to save, you know, probably 10 to 20,000 between two different departments. So, you know, that's the phase we're in now. As a town government, is to try to make sure we're only spending things that absolutely have to be spent to the best of our ability and contractual obligations and so on. So then when we get to October, November, and we have to readjust the budget based on whatever happens at the state level, you know, hopefully the cuts won't be as deep as we originally thought. You know, there's one or two jobs at the DPW, for example, we have yet to fill. We certainly may fill them. But certainly not until we have more certainty from the state on the budget. You know, in some ways, we could be in a situation, you know, it's so fluid with so much on the state plate. You know, you wonder if maybe we won't get a budget out of them until after the election. You know, it's hard to know. And in all respect out of our legislators, I'm not so sure that they fully have that figured out yet.
No.
They're still focused on the public health crisis. As they should. I mean,
statewide,
we can sit here in Franklin and go, oh, we're doing great. But, you know, they still have a broader problem out there that from a state legislative perspective and governance perspective, they're still trying to do the best they can. So, I do think the school committee has had a series of budget discussions. I think that if I were for your listeners out there and you're interested in either the school department or the budget issues there, you know, that would be a focal point to engage with the school committee and the superintendent's office on the school department budget, which I do believe they'll be discussing, you know, probably quite a bit over the coming months.
Yeah, they added a meeting to their July schedule. So there's one on the 14th next week and then on the 28th as well. Whereas the council, I believe, only has the one meeting this month and next month, the 22nd and then whatever it is in August. I forget the number or date offhand, but that's not much. But back to the town council. You said there was going to be kind of a hybrid meeting as a trial.
Yeah, we're going to try out, you know, having the council staff and approved participants for the meeting, people that need to come to present or whatever the case may be. And we're going to try to get them into the municipal building, into the chamber. Just so folks know, you know, I have to pay somebody to disinfect the building after these meetings. And, you know, I have staff that work right there. And so we have to be cautious, obviously, and contained. But, you know, we're at that point where we can really start to maybe try to see what that looks like and get that meeting going. And then the public will be able to participate through Zoom. All of the public only will be able to participate through Zoom or phone. You know, which will be projected on the council chambers. So we're going to do a run through next week. And, you know, I'm hopeful that that meeting goes well and the meeting in August goes well. And then I think if those go well, you know, and we can, again, take one more step forward, you know, hopefully maybe some of the other committees in town, you know, might be able to have the same, you know, the same situation. With
meeting format. Yes.
Meeting format. Exactly. Or the planning board or ZBA or sure. any of the other folks.
Or school Friday. Committee and all there. Discussions. Absolutely.
And their subcommittees too. You know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a hybrid, I think, for the summer. And then I think we need to see the success continue. And that's just really, I think, what the governor has been really harping on. So hopefully those meetings will work out well. I really do. I think we're ready for it. I think that the public's ready for it. And, you know, it's just another data point in the future of hopefully how we can make this thing better.
Agreed. Yep. And shifting kind of into the virtual meetings and being mindful of your schedule time-wise to kind of into our kind of wrap up around. But we do have the senior coffee with Jeff Roy and you and other town council or some town councilors will be there on the Zoom Thursday, July 16th. Mm-hmm. And then, as we started alluding to earlier, there are some other events and happenings. Black Box is starting some concerts in the parking lot. So that's going to be cool to see. Party for the Pantry is going to be virtual on July 16th. Circle of Friends also does a fundraiser with Don White featuring on July 23rd. And I think you said the concert on the Common comes in on July 24th.
Yes, it's again, it's a movie night, right, Amory?
I believe the first one is also a movie night. Yep.
Ooh, right. Cool. Bring the popcorn. Yes.
I know it's the Pub Kings. Right? I don't know who the other band is.
I haven't looked at it in a couple of days, but.
So Pub Kings, that's at least a band. And then I think it was timed so that clearly the Farmer's Market is there through 6. So this will be of a segue from the Farmer's Market to socially distant, gathered around the gazebo bandstand on the Common.
It was always the vision to try to move concerts on the Common to the same day as the Farmer's Market, to try to create a little bit more of an event atmosphere, if you will.
Sure.
And obviously we were anticipating having food trucks and a beer garden. And
but that's future. We can't do it all at once, right?
We can't do it all at once. No, it's but you know, just so everybody out there knows, I mean, our ultimate vision was to really have some, you know, fun events and family friendly events and try to mirror what happened at Art Week last year. We're trying not to be sour about what we don't have. We're trying to be positive and enthusiastic about what we do have. And what we do have is a couple of local bands are going to be playing on that night. And then, as Anne-Marie reminded me, is it Frozen 2, Anne-Marie?
No. So it's Pub Kings followed by Frank Padula Band. And then it's Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4. I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah. Well, now we have to show up at Concerts in the Common, Steve.
Hey, of course. We can do a live preliminary.
But, you know, all the stuff you just listed, right? Like, again, like, these are opportunities for people to start doing what, you know, we've talked on the show before, and Anne-Marie and I talk about it all the time, is, you know, you have to almost, and I think we both, you know, Anne-Marie could speak for herself, obviously, but I feel like we both agree that you have to try something. If, you know, and obviously we want people to be very safe and cognizant of their own health risks,
mm-hmm.
And to not push it. But, you know, I'm in the same boat, you know, I mean, I'm a healthy guy, but, you know, I do have an underlying condition and you know, nobody would know, but that's the way this works. And you have to be cognizant of you. You have to pay attention to what the risk is for you. But you also have to balance that with, I gotta try something someday. And I think Anne-Marie and I both learned, I have certainly, I'm going to reenter my own comfort zone slower than maybe I thought. And that's okay. And here's a whole series of things going on in the next month in Franklin. In addition to the new restaurants opening that we talked about earlier, and hopefully more and more, you know, here's some opportunities.
I think it's also nice for our residents to have things to look forward to. People have had so many things canceled over the past few months, and it is a way to sort of dip your toe in the water in a fairly safe environment, and, you know, maybe take your kids out on a blanket and just have something, you know, on a Friday night to say, we're going to go do this and to see how it goes. And then maybe you realize, oh, it's going to be okay. And you'll try another small thing. And again, take those steps into normal, depending upon obviously everybody's comfort zones with their own families and all that. But anything I think that we can have on the schedule right now that is safe, that is okay, you know, and meets the parameters that we can offer right now, like to Jamie's point, rather than thinking about what we don't have, focus a little bit more on what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that glass half full versus half empty piece. Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely.
Because we need our health. Our health is important. If we didn't have our health, we couldn't do everything else.
So, yeah, you need it.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Well, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Steve.
Continue to enforce the diligence as you do throughout the town, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
You too, Anne Marie, with all your communications, and we share them accordingly.
Yes, and, you do. I appreciate it.
We'll be back in 2 weeks unless something happens sooner.
Awesome. Good. Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right.
Steve. All right. Have a good one, everyone.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.